Certainly glad to be here today to stay another portion of God's Word with you. Appreciate the fact of you coming out and being with us, especially if we have visitors today. I know we have visitors today because I'm a visitor today. So appreciate the fact of the invitation to come and be with you and to speak with you concerning the Word of God. Years ago, one of the fellows that we had for a meeting, a fellow by the name of A.C. Grider, older preacher. When he was 30, he looked 90, but he was older then, especially, and used to like to have him. And A.C. used to tell me the stories all the time, and he used to tell me the stories about Marshall Keeble. This great black preacher from the early part of the 20th century up to the 30s, maybe the 40s a little bit. His wife just died just in the past year or two. In fact, she was 107, 108 years old. But he told me a story about Brother Keeble one time preaching by the train track. And said he's preaching, said train came by and said it was too loud, they didn't have a PA system or anything. So he stopped for a minute, and him and the rest of the congregation just watched the train go by. And after it was through, he said, "What was that?" He said, "That's a train." And he said, "What was that on the front?" And the crowd said, "That was an engine." And said, "What's it doing?" Said, "It's pulling." So "What's that on the back?" He said, "Well, it's the caboose." Said, "What's it doing?" Said, "The crowd just got silent." Said one little black boy stood up on his pew there, and he said, "It's just a riding." And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Hopefully you're not just arriving this morning. Hopefully you're a faithful member here. If you are a member here, you're doing your part for the work here at Providence. And certainly we appreciate the fact of you coming out this morning. My mom and Lynn's mom died several years ago. Some of you knew my mother, Verla, and my aunt, Cleta, and Norma. Norma's still living. But Cleta and Verla are both passed away now. And years ago, they had something called the airport expansion over in Louisville. And they were taking the properties. The airport was taking the properties. One of it was eminent domain, but our section was a section to where we would choose to sell or not, and my mother and aunt, they chose to sell. So I was going through some of the things in the attic at that time as they were getting ready to sell the properties. And some of the things found at that time was 8-track tapes. A lot of you don't know what 8-track tapes were, but I just had a lot of them back then. Used to plug them into my car and go and pick up Lynn and play the tapes and just enjoy dating at that time. The picture albums that I found at that time, pictures of people down here. Pictures of used to be dinner on the ground here years ago, where they would set up different places and eat out there in the parking lot at that time. Other pictures of a fellow named J.L. Davis used to preach here all the time in gospel meetings, and other pictures like that. Found pictures of me and polyester leisure suit. Boy, I looked good at that time. And then I found underneath pictures of the Garden Lane Church in leisure suits and everything. Well, we had pictures made for our church directory. It looked like dance theater there. Everybody was in leisure suits at that time. And we all just looked good. You know, everything changes, though. You have cell phones, you have computers, and you understand they change over the course of time. But changes a lot of times create stress within people's lives. my uncle Herschel was running for political office years ago, and he used to go and make stump speeches for Herschel, and maybe women's clubs, things like that, trying to get people to vote for Herschel. And I remember one fellow one day, he stood up. This was back in the early 80s, and we were having sort of a recession like we're having now. Back in the early 80s, Corey can appreciate this about the fact, well, you know, mortgage back then was 16-17%. People complaining today about mortgages 6%. They really have back in about 1980. But Philly lost his job. He stood up and he said, just what are you going to do for me? All I want to do is work with my hands. And when he put his hands up, his hands were huge. He was a steel worker there in Louisville. And one of the things I noticed was, and I was trying to speak and trying to get people to vote for my uncle, and one of the things I noticed at that time was, that fella at that time wasn't going to be able to use no computer. He wasn't going to be able to use a keyboard. His fingers were too big for a keyboard. They got keyboards today for people with big fingers, but back then, they didn't have keyboards that size. And I thought about the stress that was created within that man's life. There was a book years ago by a fellow named Alvin Toffler. And the book was called Future Shock, about what was going to happen in the coming years and what was going to happen during this period of time that we're in right now. And in that book, he makes a statement. He said, this generation, more than any other, is going to look for some points of security and stability in our lives. What I want to look at this morning is, our God is changeless. And as we look at this morning, one of the things we want to know is, can I find that within my life? Can I find stability and security within my life like so many other people have found? Yes. But you're not going to find it really in this world. You're going to find it in the one who created this world. It says in James chapter 1 and in verse 17, every good gift bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. James chapter 1 and in verse 17. Today what I want to talk about for just the next few moments is what theologians call the immutability of God. And all we mean by that is the fact that our God does not change. Everything else does. We see over in Malachi and in chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 6, he says, Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Everything else changes. I think I preached down here about 19 years ago. I can't remember what it was. But I'll tell you what, 19 years ago, I didn't have gray hair. I have gray hair today. I'll tell you what, 19 years ago, I was a lot skinnier than I am now. 19 years ago, I weighed about 140 pounds. Today, I weigh 216 pounds. Things have changed in 19 years. That's your life. Other things have changed as well. And if you look hard at this, you understand things are changing within your life as well. Bob Dylan wrote a song years ago about the fact that times are changing. And what's changing is our hairline's changing, our waistline's changing, our hemline changing, and now even our credit line is changing. But we always look for ways that we can find some stability within our lives. And that's what we want to look at for the next few moments this morning as we look at this. One of the things we see here is the fact that God's love never changes. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 3, Jeremiah 31 and in verse 3, you can turn over there for just a minute. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It says in verse 3, and the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. kindness. You're created by God. And you were created by God to be loved by Him. His love is absolutely consistent. His love is continual. Sometimes, though, people feel stressed because of the fact things are changing within their lives. Used to be, when I first started out preaching, I thought that one of the things basically I always wanted to do was the fact that I would set in my office, and I would sit there and I would sermonize for several hours during the week. I would present a Wednesday night class, Sunday morning class, a couple of sermons on Sunday, and that would be it. But I tell you what I spend a lot of my time doing anymore, and that's the fact of being with people and counseling people concerning the fact of the problems that they have. A lot of people are having marital problems anymore. A lot of kids are having problems. Let's not be naive about this, folks. Members of the church have marital problems. Let's not be naive about this. Children in the Lord's church get into things they don't have any business getting into. It's not the fact that we all just have perfect children all of our lives. And a lot of times we try to lead people to believe that sometimes. But the situation is, a lot of people have stress in their life because of the fact there are some things that are changing within their lives. Well, good news is, God doesn't act like that. I never hear anyone say, "Well, I wonder what got into God today. I just don't know. He's not acting like He usually acts." That's not the situation. God always acts. He never acts out of character. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8. First John chapter 4 and in verse 8, he says there in verse 8, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." One of the things we see regarding this as well is in Psalm chapter 119. In verse 159, Psalm 119, verse 159. We see there in verse 159, he says, consider how I love thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. What we're going to do is we're going to make a direct application to each one of these points this morning. And the first direct application is, I need never doubt God's love for me. Although the fact there are a lot of things changing within our lives, although the fact there's a lot of stress being created within our lives today, we need never doubt God's love for us. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 39, 38 and 39. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. He says in verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's something else we see here, and that is that God's Word never changes. God's Word never changes. Principles, commands, promises. Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 8. He says chapter 40 and in verse 8. He says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God abides forever." I don't know. If you owned a personal computer over the past 20, I don't know how many personal computers, laptops we've owned over the past 25 years. We've just gone through untolds of them. I go to the library every now and then. Look at old magazines, Psychology Today and other magazines. How things become outdated. When I was up at my mom's attic a couple of years ago now, we're cleaning out that thing, I found some encyclopedias. and found the S volume there. I looked up Spinks. And under Spinks it said that one day we'll probably go to the moon. Now we got two, almost three generations now of people sitting in this audience that can't remember a time when they hadn't been there. So we see the fact, things changing. In Psalm 119 and verse 89, Psalm 119 and verse 89. Says in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And then in Matthew chapter 24, as he is there dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem there in the beginning, and then talking about the end of time towards the end of the chapter, he says in chapter 24 and in verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." This word. Grover always said, if you see a person with a Bible falling apart, usually their life isn't. So that's true with me. My life isn't falling apart, but my Bible is. This book has been more attacked, more criticized, more outlawed, more banned, more burned than any other book in the history of the world. And yet for all that, you know, about 140 years ago now, maybe a little bit longer than that, the French Academy of Science published 86 unarguable errors that the Bible was unworthy of acceptance by enlightened men. One other fellow talks about the fact during that time that they would take Bibles and they would use them just like balls, and they would just kick them everywhere, just having fun with the Bible. You know, 86 of those errors do not stand today. But the Bible still continues to move on. And in fact, this French philosopher, Voltaire, he was an atheist during the Enlightenment. And he talks about the fact that, as he proclaimed, by the time that his lifetime was over, the Bible wouldn't even be no longer among men at that time. He even built a school to encourage people to believe that way. That school years later became the Geneva Bible Society, publishing Bibles. You know, one thing about God's Word never changes, and that is the fact that God's universal laws never change. There's a reason why you can study science in your schools here today, and you can take elements and you can put them under the same conditions and get the same results, because you understand that God's Word doesn't change. Years ago there was a fellow that went up in space, a fellow by the name of Alan Shepard. He was the first fellow that went up in space. And they asked him the question, they said, what are you counting on the most concerning space? And he said, "What I'm concerned about most is the fact that God's laws do not change. God's word doesn't change. God's laws do not change. Because the fact he is relying on this so that he can get back to earth once again." You know, when we think about this, contrary to popular belief, God doesn't invent rules for new generations. Things have changed, no doubt. Things have changed since my grandmother's time. But my grandmother talked about Sunday. Luella Taylor Owens. When she would talk about Sunday, she would use the term the Lord's Day. I never heard her say the word Sunday. It was always the Lord's Day. When my mother came along, she started calling it Sunday when she got older. And when my groups came along, we started calling it the weekend. Because of the fact there are some things that change among people. But God's Word never changes. You know, when you pull up to a stop sign, how do you interpret it? Seems like, thanks, stop. You know, it's taking an interpretation for that. When the Bible, when it says, you don't have sex outside of marriage. You don't have sex. If the Bible says, you don't lie, you don't lie. If the Bible says, you are supposed to attend on the first day of the week, you attend on the first day of the week. Over in Matthew, in chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7 and in verse 24. He says there in verse 24, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. How many believe everything they see on TV? Raise your hand. You believe everything you see on TV? Raise your hand. How about you believe everything you read about in the Courier Journal or in the Lexington paper or maybe in the Rockcastle paper you have now? If you believe everything that you read about in those newspapers, you raise your hand. But how many believe what is said in the Word of God? That you believe everything that's in the Word of God? I'd ask you to raise your hand. Sure, everybody can raise their hands concerning that. I believe everything that's in the Word of God. Well, why in the world are we spending so much time watching TV? Why in the world are we spending so much time reading newspapers and hardly any of us anymore ever heard of opening up the Word of God? God's Word does not change. And the application is here, the direct application for this is that stability comes by building my life on God's unchanging Word. A fellow years ago preached up in Tennessee. He was almost 80 years old. And we were getting ready to walk in the building. He said, I want you to stop here, Rob. He said, I want you to look at this. I said, what's that? And he said, look there. I saw, two little children's footprints that were buried in the cement. He said, yeah. He said, I'm 80 years old. He said, those are my footprints. He said, my mother wanted to put me on the right path. And the right path that she thought about was toward the Lord. Are you doing that this morning? Are you putting yourself on the right path toward the Lord? Are you putting your children on the right path, a path toward the Lord? Are you putting your grandchildren on a path toward the Lord? Well, that's a decision that you, and only you, can make at that time. The last thing I want you to see this morning concerning the immutability of God is the fact that God's purposes never change. God's purposes never change. In Isaiah chapter 14 and in verse 24, Isaiah chapter 14 and in verse 24, he says there in verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely just as I have intended it, so it has happened, and surely as I have planned, so it will stand. Another thing I want you to see regarding this is Psalm chapter 33 and in verse 11. Psalm chapter 33 and in verse 11. He says there in verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of His heart from generation to generation. You know what history is? History is really God's story. And the choices that we make, the choices that people have made before from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, He is going to weave together for that divine purpose. What's the world coming to? A lot of people ask that question. What's the world coming to, Rob? It's coming to an end. Do your plans change? A lot of times they do. You know, we don't have the perspective or the foresight to know what's going to happen a lot of times in our life. I got a fellow now at Gardner Lane, Earl Ford. Danny went and signed with me a couple weeks ago when he was there. He's dying right now. And over the next couple of days, I might drive back and forth because of the fact that he's dying. He's down about 73 pounds now. He got a tube in his stomach, throwing up everything coming into his stomach now. His kids are worried about it, want me to come and have a prayer with him. His wife is in Baptist's hospital right now with pneumonia. He has pneumonia as well. She has cancer. He has cancer. But they had kids, and the kids' plans were something else. The kids' plans were something to where they were going to do various things within their lives. They had kids down in Florida that were enjoying the retirement down there, and all of a sudden now they had to come back and take care of their mom and their dad because of the fact that they didn't have the foresight to know what was going to happen. And a lot of times we don't have the power to implement the plan that we wanted. I'm 34 years old. I think 4 years old, that was going to be playing outside one day. And all of a sudden, my uncle came to the backyard. And he said, "Rob, your dad is dead." 1964. I didn't think at that time that that was going to happen. But I tell you what, it can happen to your dad just as well as it can happen to mine. It can happen to your dad, it can happen to your granddad, it can happen to anyone, because of the fact we don't have the power to implement the plans many times that we want within our lives. I wanted my dad to live. People want their families to live, but we don't have the power to do that. But I'll tell you what, somebody has power. And that's the God of heaven. The God of heaven is omniscient. He doesn't need any new information. He is omnipotent. There's nothing that He cannot do. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29, He says there in verse 29, "And also the glory of Israel will not lie or change His mind, for He is not a man that He should change His mind." What is God's purpose for you, ladies and gentlemen? Well, we see over in John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. We'll revisit this tonight a little bit. He says in verse 10, "A thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. He says in chapter 8 and in verse 29. He says, "Whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren." The direct application that our God is eager to use you. God knew what was going to happen to your life. God knew the fact that you might not be a Christian for a long period of time. You might later on in your adult life come to the Lord, where you might have been in denominationalism for a number of years. It might be a fact like mine, the thought that he thought he was just the scum of the earth. And he thought there was no way that God could love him for the things that he did. He was in the jungles in the South Pacific in World War II. He had to kill a lot of people hand to hand. And he thought, there's no way in the world that God could love me. But he came to that realization later on, that God could love him. And he was obedient to the truth. You know, there's nothing that God doesn't know. After all these things that's happened to all of us, and all these terrible things that we've done to reject the Lord, God still lets us be born. It lets us to live our lives and make our choices. And God still wants to use you today. Are you willing? Are you willing to let God use you today? God is changeless. A lot of changes going on within our life. A lot of problems right now in our society. But God loves you and wants you to come to Him. While together we stand and sing, we beg you to come.